Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 24th day of June, 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And a bit later, ag economist Dan O'Brien from K-State University, or Kansas State, will join us to take a look at the agriculture energy markets. And we close out our half hour together, as usual, by taking a look at the weather forecast. Don Day of Day Weather will be here. Along the way, we'll hear all about the crop conditions in Illinois, Indiana, and Minnesota. Update you on Iowa as well as we make our way through this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us on willag.org or follow us on Twitter at Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check now the numbers as they finished in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon. July soft red winter wheat at $5.71, settlement price down 8 3/4. The hard red at 7.05 1/2, 8 1/2 cents lower. July corn at $4.43, down 1 1/2. December at 4.40 3/4, 1 3/4 lower. And the March corn at 4.51 1/4, down 1 1/2 cents. May futures at $4.58, down 1 1/2, and July at 4.65 1/4 in the corn pit, down 1 1/2. If you're wondering, the 2015 December contract unchanged today at $4.56 3/4. July soybeans at $14.13 1/2 cents, down 11 1/4. August at $13.57 3/4, 7 3/4 lower. September $12.60 3/4, down 6 3/4. November beans $12.24 1/2, down 9 1/4. January futures $12.31 1/4, down 9 1/4. In July of next year, $12.43 1/4, down 10 1/2 cents. November beans of 2015, 6 1/4 cents lower at $11.93 3/4. Bean meal for the day at $448.40, down 7.40. Bean oil at $40.97, 29 cents higher. Live cattle futures from the CME Group finished the June at $151.15, up the $3 limit. August at $149.72 1/2, up $2.80. Feeder cattle in the August up $2.72 1/2, finished at $210.62 1/2 per 100 pounds. September there at $212.20, up $2.90. And July lean hogs at $130.42 1/2, up $2.12 1/2. This is Illinois Public Media.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Taking a look at the outside markets as they're trading at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day, the trade at $105.99 a barrel in the August, down 19 cents. The RBOB gasoline, or wholesale price, at $3.12 3/10. That's 1 1/2 higher. Ethanol futures at $2.08, down 1 2/10, and the spread between the two is $1.06 1/2 wide. That's 2 7/10 cents wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas trading at $4.52 6/10, 8 cents higher, in diesel fuel up 0.8 cents at $3.04 1/10. Gold futures on the day, $1,320.90, up $2.90, and the U.S. dollar trading at 80.33 on the delayed tick. That's up 0.06 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area today. A slight chance of rainfall, thunderstorms, a high of 81 degrees tonight, partly cloudy and 65. Tomorrow, again, a slight chance of rainfall in the afternoon. That's at a 20%, a high of 84 degrees. And then Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy and a 64-degree low. On Thursday, a 40% chance of rain, some thunderstorms, a high of 82 degrees. Thursday night, thunderstorms and 66. On Friday, a 40% chance of rainfall and 82 degrees and thunderstorms on Friday night and 69 degrees. By the time we get to the weekend on Saturday, we should see a chance of thunderstorms and 85-degree high. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
On this Tuesday afternoon, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us is Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. I'm wondering, Wayne, whether you had a busy day today at your office.
You know, the phones rang a lot more today. I think that the crop ratings yesterday, when they didn't decrease in large number after we saw all those, you know, pictures of drowned out areas and problems in northwest Iowa, southern Minnesota, and like that, and the crop ratings come in, you know, within 1% and 2% of what they were the week before, I think has sort of spurred a lot of people to think that maybe this crop is looking good and maybe it's going to be as good as some of them are saying. So,
are they asking questions or are they taking positions?
Well, we had some of both. We had a lot of discussions on, you know, what was going on out there, what the future weather looks like, you know, that we're looking for a little bit of a drying off spell the first couple weeks of July and then back to a little cooler temperatures as far as the long-range forecasts look and what the crops look like. And, boy, some of our customers have been out driving this weekend. They'd taken a trip clear into Iowa over on 74 and come back on Route 80 and down through 39, and they said they had never seen the crops along there in the last 5 years look that good.
No, that would have been quite a lengthy trip, so they made quite the trip. And I would guess they saw, in at least Illinois, some really tremendous crops.
The comment was, I think Illinois might even be able to outproduce the state of Iowa this year as good as it looks.
And that's tough for, that's really a tough job because they have more acres than we do normally.
So. I know.
So when Illinois outproduces Iowa in corn, that is a big, big deal. But it is a big crop potentially at this point. And I suppose the weather looks pretty good. What do you tell them if they say, I need to take a position or it's decided to go ahead and make some kind of choice about what they're going to do? Because, of course, they're looking at something below maybe their crop insurance points at
yeah,
this time.
This, of course, we're at levels below what the crop insurance numbers are and what we're looking at here. But, you know, depending on what they have sold and what level we're looking at, why, you know, it still might be advantageous if they've got no coverage in here to do a little bit that way. You know, and one of the things, you know, we're looking at that seemed to hold this market together has been that the old crop beans seem to be very, you know, they very tight on the balance sheet. But yet we see more liquidation, the old new crop bean spreads, and that just doesn't act like we're running out of beans, or we should still have that very wide. And the July-November spreads declined to $1.82, you know, to $1.82, the July premium here, and that was, you know, that's off an awful lot from where we were just a couple weeks ago. So that's sort of, it's sort of wondering because, you know, last year at this time, the basis levels on old crop beans was a lot better than it is right now.
USDA had been saying, and well, at this point continues to say, 90 million bushels of beans need to be imported into the United States, but I don't think we've got anything close to that at this time.
No, and we're not really seeing a lot of imports coming in. You know, we did go through today again with no announcements of any big sales, which is probably a good thing because we keep announcing sales of beans that we don't really have or doesn't look like we've got to do that that way. And, you know, and the corn-bean ratio now is out 2.8 to 1.
All right. Well, what does that mean in your mind then?
Well, it means that the guys that went ahead and switched those acres to beans are probably smarter than the guys that kept planting corn.
Well, there's one item, but they're only smarter if they actually happen to sell, I suppose,
yeah.
And they sell at the highest prices.
Well, I mean, that's going to be, you know, the real case is whether they've got some marketed and here we're going and what happens down the line. So, you know, we were at a seminar yesterday and heard one of the forecasters, the weatherman, that was predicting an early frost during the month of September in the northern states, as Minnesota, northern Iowa, and Wisconsin, Michigan, and like that. So that gives you a little bit of fear on some things for that area also. But he was also saying we'd see a little dry weather for a couple weeks and then come back to a fairly decent summer for the rest of us to really produce a crop.
Yeah, speaking of weather and when we would get to a point that we're safe from a frost, that looks like it'll be sooner rather than later, at least in Illinois, Indiana, because we've got a whole lot of growing degree days that have been piling up, and the crop looks like it's going to mature more quickly than suggested time frames, simply because the growing degree days are there, and we're catching up really quickly. Tasseling should happen, what, next week or so in a good part of the
States? You know, we're probably at least a week and a half, 2 weeks down the road on a lot of our corn here. But I was talking to some farmers in Arkansas today, and they're getting a nice gentle shower, and their corn is tasseling, and it's about 80 degrees down there today. So what more ideal conditions can
you
we get for that?
Can't ask for better than that, can you? That'll put kernels on the cob, that's for darn sure. What do we see in the livestock side of the marketplace?
Livestock, you know, we're last little rush to try to put things together for 4th of July specials, figuring on a lot of stuff going out for the good grilling weather and the big three-day holiday, the way that's stacking up this year, the way. So, pushed in a lot of good buying, and the cutouts, you know, inspired the packers to want to buy a little more here today, and just good returns on the cattle and the pigs both today, just keeping a very tight market. You know, a lot of people wondering, will the cattle be able to, the beef prices be able to hold up all summer if gas prices stay close to $4, that we might see a little switch over to chicken and pork, but a lot of guys still like steak.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Joins us on this Tuesday afternoon to take a look at the marketplace and how things have traded in Chicago. If you'd like to hear him again, you can always do that on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There we post all of our agricultural programming not long after it airs on our radio stations. For the most part, you can find it about 5 minutes after the hour, 3:05, 3:15, along those terms, central time for the closing market report, again at willag.org. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows that in Iowa, 58% of the corn crop is now in good condition. 21% is in excellent condition. We'll hear more from other states in just a moment. Nationwide, 56% of the corn crop is in good condition. That compares to last week at 59%. 18% in excellent condition, 1 percentage point better than last week. And that's up from last year's 14 percentage point at this time of year. Soybeans emerged are set now at 90% around the nation. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 87%. Last week, 60% of the crop was said to be in good condition, 58% this week, 13% last week for the soybeans in excellent condition this week, set at 14%. Now, here are the statisticians from Illinois, Minnesota, and Indiana with their weekly updates.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois, with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Illinois was warm and wet last week. Temperatures were above average all around the state, and the state average was more than 4 degrees above normal. Rainfall was also above normal, with the highest rainfall totals in the northern areas. Southern areas were generally below normal rainfall last week. Overall, the state average was 1.45 inches of rain, more than 1/2 inch above normal. Wheat harvest has begun in Illinois, and 20% of the crop has been harvested. That compares to 10% 1 year ago and 31% for the five-year average. The condition of the crop was rated as 9% in very poor to poor condition, 32% in fair condition, and 59% in good to excellent condition. Corn was rated as 4% very poor to poor, 18 fair, and 78 in good to excellent condition. Soybeans were 4% very poor to poor, 23% fair, and 73% in good to excellent condition. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop progress and condition report. Widespread precipitation during the week left soil saturated, stressing crops and delaying efforts to finish planting. Wet field conditions also hindered crop spraying and the first cutting of hay. There were 1.1 days suitable for field work across the state. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 42% adequate and 58% surplus. Topsoil and subsoil surplus moisture conditions jumped 18 and 22 points respectively from the previous week. Soybean planting was 95% complete. That's 3 percentage points behind the 5-year average. 90% of the soybean crop has emerged. Soybean condition ratings rated 1% very poor, 6% poor, 29% fair, 56% good, and 8% excellent. Corn emergence was 98%. That's 2 points behind normal. Corn condition ratings came in at 1% very poor, 6% poor, 23% fair, 57% good, and 13% excellent. Spring wheat emergence was 98%. That's 2 percentage points behind average. The spring wheat condition ratings came in at 1% very poor, 6% poor, 34% fair, 53% good, and 6% excellent. Pasture conditions rated 1% very poor, 4% poor, 17% fair, 60% good, and 18% excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Glenn Goodrich with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service. Farmers sprayed and side-dressed their fields as weather permitted this week, but dramatic rains in central and northern regions halfway through the week kept farmers out of their fields through the weekend. Conditions were similar to last week, with rain and warm temperatures prevailing for the majority of days. The statewide average temperature for the week was 77.4 degrees, 5.1 degrees warmer than normal. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0 to 3.79 inches, with a statewide average of 1.12 inches. Although hindering fieldwork, the rains along with warm temperatures have been excellent for crop growth, and the majority of all crops and pasture surveyed were in good or better condition. Corn emergence has concluded, and farmers are busy side-dressing their corn for the time being. Soybeans are nearly finished planting at 96%, the same as 96% last year and ahead of 94% five-year average. Most planting activity this week happened in the south of the state, which avoided the majority of this week's rain. Soybeans are almost done emerging as well, at 91% versus 89% last year and 87% five-year average. Winter wheat coloring shot ahead this week to 77%. Winter wheat mature advanced to 36%. The winter wheat harvest was 13% concluded this week. Hay cutting was difficult for wetter parts of the state, and the midweek rains caused some damage to last week's cut hay that had been left in the open to dry. When not working the fields, farmers were hauling grain, tending to machinery, certifying acres with the FSA, and mowing roadsides. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending June 22, 2014. This is Glenn Goodrich reporting.
Our thanks, of course, go to the state statisticians in Illinois and Minnesota, along with Indiana. We'll catch up with Iowa again next week. They just happened to put their report up on the website. You can find those, if you know where to look, on the NAS website in each and every state under the crop production reports. Otherwise, we always try to post them into our own website. They're in the closing market report each and every Tuesday afternoon at about 3:05 in the afternoon.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, speaking of a Tuesday afternoon, each and every Tuesday, we talk to somebody about the agricultural energy markets. Once a month, it is Dan O'Brien. He's an ag economist at Kansas State University that works for Extension there and is on the phone line now. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hello, Todd. How are you doing?
I'm very, very good. You were kind enough to send me a PowerPoint, and I see that that PowerPoint actually gets to posted up to the website, so people who are interested in following what you're doing with agricultural energies can find it on the Ag Manager website. Is that right?
Yes, it's a good monthly discipline for us to go through the numbers and to look at the profitability and costs and different trends. And this month, in going through that, there's some things I wouldn't say they're abnormal, but some really interesting steps outside of the norm in terms of how the numbers are working out.
Well, the numbers are interesting. For instance, the price of ethanol for the day is, $2.65 at this hour. So it's a pretty high price at this point.
Yeah, we have been seeing, I guess a trend over time in some of these different things. Now, the price in Iowa that we've been following is down. Well, it's down to 219, had been up to like 250 or 260 within the last month or two. So here we've got a combination on ethanol of lower selling prices, the cost coming up a little bit, still about 178, profit still hanging in there, about 41 cents a bushel. Not per bushel, per gallon. I got to get my
price, and I meant the high. There was a high spread price. The spread between the ethanol and the gasoline is as wide as it's been for a long time, up at around a buck or thereabouts, $1.06.
Yes, and the ratio of ethanol. Well, yeah, as you say, it's one way to look at it. If you flip that over, the ratio of ethanol to RBOB prices is as low as it's been for a good long time. 206 for ethanol, according to this one price series we're looking at, versus 311 for RBOB, down to 0.66. And that's we were down that low, I guess, about last September, but it's been a good while. Generally, we've been a lot higher than that. I would say also that there was news in the last week and with regard to a record high ethanol production on a weekly basis here in the U.S., reported by the Energy Information Agency out of the Department of Energy. If we had kept, if we maintained that same pace of ethanol production on a year-round basis, we'd be at 5.4 some billion bushels of corn used instead of the 5.05 that's projected right now. So, you know, you wonder, well, what spurred on such a situation? Probably generally lower cost corn. You know, we have now this creeping in influence of the geopolitical conflict that's happening over in the Middle East. And although we're not as directly dependent on energy supplies in the Middle East as we were because of our own energy development, still that affects the world price. So you can see some creeping up in oil prices and also gasoline prices, at least as listed on some of the national indices. And with that, bound to see, I guess it raises the question of where we'd see the ethanol price and the ethanol industry go if we had had some type of a constraining international issue that would happen over there in that part of the area. It would raise up oil prices and you know, bring about some type of a dynamic change in our own market, and probably be a demand pull on the ethanol side. And so with all that, of course, the EPA, we're still waiting for that finalization of their rules. So we have a number of, quote, balls up in the air right now as we're trying to figure out where the ethanol industry will end up going in the next several months.
Well, that's an interesting problem, the demand pull. Do we have actually capacity to produce that much ethanol? I'm assuming we do, to up to 5.4 billion bushels of usage. But
we have, right now we're producing it. If I'm looking at things right off of the Renewable Fuels Association site, we've got capacity for about 14.2 billion gallons of ethanol production. Well, pardon me, we were producing about 14.2. We've got capacity up to about 14.9. So we probably have the capacity built. We've run up to about just under 15 billion gallons of capacity in production, and again, by the time we do the math, we could probably get up to about that. But whether we could go much farther than 5.4 or 5.5 billion gallons of corn, billion bushels of corn,
right?
That would be in question, I guess.
Well, that would be whether we had the corn to do it with. If we see the fruition of the crop we have in the ground, that probably will be the case.
That's right.
And you know, I was looking, Dan, back over some of these numbers just to see what production looked like. And I don't remember where I saw this, but we ran ethanol plants at 1.2, so 20% above boilerplate.
Right.
And we're at 14.9 billion gallons of total production. You suppose we could run much bigger than that? I mean, is that boilerplate number? We have about 30 seconds here.
Well, I would not put anything past the ingenuity and productivity of people in the ethanol industry.
they
can push the efficiencies and get quite a bit out of their standing facilities, that's for sure.
Hey, thanks so much.
Take care, Todd.
Dan O'Brien with K-State University joining us here on the Closing Market Report. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. We'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
This is Illinois Public Media.
It's National Creamy Pralines Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1788, Thomas Blanchard was born. An American inventor, he created a machine for mass-producing tacks. And at age 13, he developed an apple-paring machine. In 1817, the first coffee was planted in Hawaii on the Kona coast. In 1839, Gustavus Franklin Swift was born. Swift was founder of the meat packing business Swift & Company, the inventor of the refrigerated railway car, and the first to ship dressed beef to eastern markets instead of live animals. Swift also pioneered products including glue, soap, and margarine out of cattle parts previously discarded. Swift & Company was worth $25 million at the time of his death in 1903. And in 2003, Richard Plough died, an American ecologist. He was the founding president of the Nature Conservancy, and he helped found the World Wildlife Fund. In 1945, he was one of the first to warn about the dangers of DDT-deficient birds. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for this market report comes from Country Financial, providing generations of Central Illinois farmers with crop hail insurance programs for individual producers, immediate family member, or tenant-landlord relationships. More information is available from your local Country Financial representative or at country-crop.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. This Tuesday afternoon, Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us to take a look at the weather forecast. Hi, Don. Good afternoon to you. It has been wet. I think the last time I looked, we had about 2.5 inches locally and probably still pretty close to that. What can you tell us about rainfall in the next 6 or 7 days?
Well, I tell you, it's just going to more opportunities for more rain is on the way. Now, I do see some gaps. But the pattern that we've had here in the month of June, especially the last couple of weeks, we basically seen carrying forward into the first couple of weeks of July. Now, I don't see it as cool. I do see it maybe being a little bit warmer. But as we've talked in previous weeks, there's just no indications that a hot summer is going to settle in. More than anything, our temperatures are going to trend to normal, if not a little bit below. So there is more rain coming, although we can expect 2 or 3 day of gaps in between them.
So in the month of June so far, I think locally we've had about 6.5, 7 inches. There are places across the Corn Belt that have had much more. They've had that much, I think, last week. Where are they and what condition might they be?
Well, I tell you, when you look at Iowa in particular, there are portions of Iowa that have had 10 to 12 inches of rain in the month of June. And those areas also extend up into southern areas of Minnesota, extreme southeastern areas of South Dakota. And those areas are going to still be looking at getting more as well. Now, will it be as much in July as what we've had in June? Probably not, but there also won't be any long periods of dry weather either.
So what they have is what they have at this point, and things should look better for them, it sounds to me, over time. What do you see around the other parts of the planet if you turn your attention maybe to China, India, and or Ukraine?
Well, let's first go over to China. Right now it looks like they've got good precipitation chances here over the next week or 10 days. Over most of the country, favorable conditions there. If we were to go over to portions of Eastern Europe, take a look at the Ukraine, they're in a forecast pattern right now that is somewhat a little bit drier, but at the same time, nothing sticks out as excessively hot or dry there. So their growing conditions are looking pretty good as well. When we go over to South Asia, take a look over at India, it does look like their precipitation chances going to be best in the southern and eastern areas, a little bit drier in the west.
Thanks so much for hopscotching the planet for me and some of the growing regions in the northern hemisphere. You have a great week.
You too.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural weather on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey offers solutions, resources, and expertise to support local landowners. Busey, your dream, our promise.